listening to the Goal Digger Guide podcast. I'm your host, Breanne Burke. I'm here to help you to become the ambitious, confident, daring woman you are meant to be. I'll provide you with a no BS approach on tips, tricks, and takeaways that you will be able to implement into your life to further strive in becoming the best version of yourself. Learn to show up with your shoulders back, your head held high, while being unapologetically you. Attract what is meant to be yours through self-love, education, insight, and inspiration. Now let's get real AF. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited that today I have the pleasure of speaking with Amani Nazardeen, the Chief Brand Officer for Run the World Summit. Run the World Summit is one of the fastest growing entrepreneurial event series for ambitious women in business. And that is what we are all about here on the podcast. So I'm so excited to pick your brain and get all the golden nuggets. I know you've been on City News, Breakfast TV, and worked with so many like world known sponsors, which is just so exciting when I did a serious deep dive into your content and everything. So firstly, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I've done a deep dive on you too. It's been really great to see all the great work you've been up to. And it's a pleasure to be on here today.
Oh, welcome. Welcome. So firstly, let's give the listeners a little bit of context to who you are and kind of like what you're doing right now today.
Yeah. So for me, I've been a people connector at core. Like who's Amani? I'm like a people connector. I've come to learn that maybe not as early as I should have. I actually went to UFT and did an undergrad in health science. I never wanted to become a doctor, so I'm not quite sure why I did that. And then it wasn't until my fourth year, second semester, last month before graduation, I was like, maybe I should be in a different program. So I actually realized that there's something called public relations, and it's all about connecting businesses, taking a brand and making sure that the vision is executed in the public eye in a way that is consistent with the mission of the brand exists. So I was just like, what do I need to do this? And so I actually got a role within the PR space, within the finance industry. And then I went to TMU, which is Toronto Metropolitan University now, and got a public relations certificate. And I graduated on the top of the class. And here I am now bringing those skills to Run the World, which has grown so much since Zaina, who is the founder of it, and Rafa, who's a co-founder, kind of brought it to life. And I'd love to like talk about how that all kind of panned out as well. So,
okay, I can't wait to dive into that, but I want to, in the upfront, talk a little bit more about your own personal journey. So, okay. So you studied health and science, like the medical route. That is like a massive difference from public relations. Now, at what moment in that did you realize like this was a disconnect? This isn't really aligned. Was that something that you always like envisioned for your future? Like, how did you kind of come to that decision making?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. Yeah, because you know what? I don't think that we're, you know, I don't believe that when we're in high school or, you know, like, you know, setting the stage up for university or a career path, quote unquote, we're actually given, you know, the right thought process as to what, you know, we really want to become. We were asked what we want to become since we're like children running around, just not a clue about the world. Like, what do you want to become when you grow up? Right. And for me, it was like, you know, I'm really good at the sciences. And in high school, my biology teacher specifically wrote in my report card, because I haven't said report card in a very long time. She wrote that you should go down the science route. You're really great at it. So I was like, okay, well, I do enjoy it. I do like it. Let me enroll. So I go to UFT. Naturally, I do one of their hardest programs with an undergrad in psychology and chemistry, not an undergrad, a minor in psychology and chemistry. And I had no clue. If you told me while I was doing it, what are you going to become? I'd be like, I don't know, researcher. And that's where I started to feel the disconnect when someone would ask me like, okay, so what are you going to do with this degree? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going with the flow of it. I'm like, I'm, you know, my dad wanted one of his kids to go to UFT. So I kind of took that. I'm like, sure, I got you. I'll get in there. I'll go make everybody proud. You can say your kid went to UFT. But I I felt like throughout the entire 4 years, I was like, I just kept going with it. And I don't know why. Technically, I should have realized that the first year and switched up, maybe done a communications or some kind of different route. But I felt the disconnect every single time someone asked me, what are you doing? But I never did something about it. It wasn't until I sat in on a business class with my friend where I was like, I'm so intrigued by like the topic that day was about business relationships and development and whatnot. So I went and I spoke to the professor after, and I was like asking questions. And he asked me, what program are you in? And I was like, health science. He's like, well, that's a shame. He's like, you speak business. And I was like, oh, really? I'm like, what am I going to do? So I really sat down then and I really sat and I was like, well, what are my strengths and how can I play to them? Because I don't want to sit there and just, okay, I'm going to become a researcher because that's what I've committed so much time towards. I realized that I loved people. I loved writing. I loved communications. I love business development and bringing brands together. So I looked in and was like, oh, this is called public relations. Okay. So I ended up switching to that. I got a PR role within the finance world where I was a chapter relations specialist. I oversaw 40 chapters across the entire country, hosted multiple leadership events across the country to basically bring top finance, financial advisors together for basically steps to success and how they can continue to be some of the best financial advisors in Canada. And I was like, oh, I love events and I love, bringing the right partners and the right people in the room together. And then I saw what Zaina was doing on Instagram and in my office in Toronto, slid into the DM saying, I'd love to be part of this. Like, I see you and I want to be part of this. So she actually gave me a chance. We got a To speaking, we grabbed a coffee with Rafa, and the rest was history, really. But I spoke a lot. I don't want to hear my voice anymore.
That's so good. That's so beautiful. There's so many things that kind of hit home while you were speaking. Like, firstly, I love that you gave yourself permission to change after you already acknowledged, like, I've kind of invested probably a lot of money and a lot of time already into like this health science background, but it just isn't feeling aligned. Like, people are asking me what I'm doing and it just doesn't fully connect. And I can totally resonate with that because I initially went through the Con Ed program, which was for teaching. And it was a great program. And at the time, of course, my family and friends would be like, you'd be an idiot not to go through for a teacher. You get summers off. It's like the best lifestyle. Teachers are like the happiest people. But there was a disconnect. And it's really funny because I've never even shared this because it's not irrelevant, but it's such a small tidbit that it made me think of. But when I was in grade one, you know how, like, when you were a kid, teachers would be an assignment or not an assignment, an activity would be like, what do you want to be when you're older? And my parents still have it. And I wrote down a crossing guard. And that was because I loved our crossing guard at my elementary school. And I just thought they were a great person. They were so sweet. Everybody loved them. They gave out like lollipops and stuff. And I'm just like, maybe that's not what I'm necessarily striving for now. But like, that was it as a kid. That is what I looked up to. I was like, I want to be a happy, good person. And then through influence, I was told, like, you should be a teacher. You should be a teacher. Like, you love kids, all these things. And I made like the shift into like a media communications degree at like just under halfway through my university experience. And it was the right move for me. So I'm so happy that you gave yourself permission to make that shift. So bringing it kind of to day. So Run the World Summit. I was so attracted to this content because it's like right up our alley, right? It's obviously all focusing on like women in business and entrepreneurship, which I absolutely love. And what was it for you that drew you to this? Was it like, okay, I now have this experience under my belt with I know what I want to do, but obviously the vision of working from like finance events, things like that, to versus what you're doing now is like quite different. So was it like the mission in which the founder is on? Like, what was it that drew you to that?
I love all your questions. So like this one's great too, because I remember I always revisit that moment that I saw what was going on. It was actually just on Instagram, and Zaina had just done an event, and it was really like her from A to Z kind of thing. And I looked at him like, this girl's onto something. Like, she's doing something that we are missing here in this community. And I sat there and I was like, I have something to offer. I want to be able to be part of this because this looks like it's going to spark joy. Like, I watched that video multiple times because it was sparking so much joy for me. Because I think the reason when I'm really narrowing down why I was so attracted to it is I at my core, I love to like empower and support and basically I love to mentor when like whether by mentor, I use that word very loosely because I have a whole bunch of girl nieces and cousins that I am the eldest to kind of thing. So I'm like always such a pro, like making sure all like the female empowerment circles are really strong. And I was working for like years at that point within a very male dominated industry. So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of exhausted by it. It didn't really fill my cup. Like I loved what I did, but I wasn't doing it for that. The energy in the room was not what I wanted it to be. And when I looked at that video, I'm like, that energy looks incredible. And I want to be part of that. So it was just really looking at where I wanted to see myself and knowing where I am right now is like, there's a lot of things I like doing. I don't like who I'm around. And that's why looking at that, I'm like, I think if you gather women in one group, like incredible things are going to happen. And I want to be in that room. So I really took that step in putting myself out there. I usually don't add people, I don't slide into the DMs like that. But after that, I was like, you know what? Slide into the DMs because it works. And it just does. So that's what happened.
I love that. And it's something that I oftentimes like preach and say to clients and promote is like, get yourself in the room. Like, get yourself in the room with like-minded people, with what you see as like smarter people, people that you're inspired by, right? There is so much truth behind you are a reflection of who your closest five people are, or just through proximity of who you're surrounded by with work all the time, right? Like, versus you being in a office with probably like a bunch of white middle-aged men, probably versus for finance, right? Versus you kind of executing these massive events of like-minded women that are ambitious, that have their own businesses and they have their own dreams. Like, that in itself is such a potent, different energy, which through again proximity is immediately going to elevate you and change and shift you and everything like that. So that is so cool. So when you initially came on, give us a timeline. Like, when did you start working with Run the World Summit?
Yeah, it was September 2019, I believe around there, or maybe it could have been even October. It was just after that first event. I slid into the DMs and I'm like, okay, let's chat. So we got to chatting and then it really became down like a team of three. So it was, you know, Zaina and Rafa and then myself. And we were planning so many things for 2020 where we were like, oh my God, this would be an incredible conference. There was one Saturday, I won't ever forget this Saturday. We had a huge whiteboard and we were brainstorming for 3 hours on a Saturday morning. I was up, like I work like 9 to 5, Friday to Saturday, Monday to Friday. And then Saturday morning, 9 a.m. And I came back home feeling so energized. I'm like, oh my God, this year's gonna be amazing. Look at all these great ideas. My cup is full. And lo and behold, like, you know, basically March comes around and everything is shut down. And we're like, you know what? Let's just adapt. We're gonna be totally fine. It's gonna be like a month. We'll be good. And oh my gosh, when I tell you that you know, we all lived through the pandemic. It kind of went on for like what, 2 years and a half year. And for events, it was really difficult. But you know, from the timeline kind of standpoint, in 2019, we can't come on. 2020, we're planning. COVID hits in March. However, what we did, and I'm really proud of Run the World Summit and or like us three ladies for doing what we did, is when everyone was trying to figure out how events are going to be executed, we really got down to planning. We got to planning about what we envision events looking like, how we can still execute elevated events and experiences despite the pandemic, making sure everybody's still comfortable. So we actually worked with Oxford Properties and hosted pop-up markets for female-owned businesses because during COVID, a lot of businesses or small-owned, you know, small businesses came to be. So we provided platform by working with these, you know, with Oxford Properties. So Square One Shopping Center, they own Yorkdale, Scarborough Town Center, et cetera, and gave space there. So although the timeline of me coming on was like us to try and like hit the ground running with all these events, it really was like a timeline of just learning on how we can adapt to the times. And that's at its core. Anything you do really is just making sure you're adapting to the time. I'm like kind of diverting off this, like the question of the timeline, because here I am now today, you know, it's been I don't know, 4 years. I can't do math, but I mean, it's really easy. 2020 to 2024, so really it is four. So yeah, it's not really much math to do, but
I would have said the same thing.
a little bit of that and some added information in between.
So good. So that, okay, that all makes sense. So what would you say like your role within within this company is as of right now?
Yes. So with the chief brand officer, the lens that I really kind of take on is anything that has to do with strategic brand alignments, like with whether it's partnerships, sponsorships, media partners, influencers, or ambassadors. It's really making sure that we're aligning ourselves with brands and in spaces that are true to our mission statement, which is creating, the elevated experiences for folks here. We want it to, we're obviously very hyper focused in the GTA right now, but we're hoping to expand across Canada because there's so many different markets to be part of. But it's really aligning ourselves with like-minded women, creating that space for a community that can grow and flourish. And by virtue of kind of having the right partners at hand. So, for example, our brand partner for our First Sundays networking series is TD. So women are behind in finance. So I go out, hey, TD, what's going on? We need, your expertise. We need your subject matter experts in the room helping, these corporate climbers or these small business owners that are females that are behind in their fine understanding of finances. How can you come and help them? So for me, it's really bringing in the right stakeholders into the room to support either, like, so it's a symbiotic relationship, really.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So what would you say? I feel like it's pretty clear based on obviously just what you're sharing, but what would you say like your overall what the overall mission is of the company? Like obviously from my understanding it's to create an elevated experience where women, entrepreneurial women can get together and again be in the room with like-minded women, but what is there anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah, I think it's for us, it's really that the key word is community. So, men have their boys clubs, like they've had their boys clubs like for ages. And women really didn't have that. They have their little high tea like talk and whatever. But it's great to talk about bigger things. And we want to be able to bring those ambitious female identifying individuals into one space so they can have a tribe they can lean on. So you come back, you have a community that you basically can like, you know what, I'm struggling through this. What are your thoughts? Like if you need that opinion, sometimes it's those individuals that you meet in spaces where everyone's thinking the same thing that you grow the strongest bonds to. And we've seen that through our platform. We have seen friendships blossom. Some of my closest friends now have actually come through like the Run the World, like just our events, because we've shared such strong bonds. And like our conversations on our stage are not that easy. Sometimes they're very vulnerable conversations that bring out, oh my God, I'm there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of thoughts going in my head. And then you have somebody there to unpack that with, who is holding space for you. And that's the kind of community that we're very proud that we've kind of created. And these are words that the words I'm using are actually words that we've got directly from the people that come to our events. So we're very proud that that's what's happened because that's extremely aligned with what we're envisioning to do.
That's so beautiful, and I could totally see that. And what have you, can you speak to any similarities or commonalities like of women that attend your events, like maybe some like struggles or topics that are brought up that seem to be like a little bit of a pattern where you find women kind of share this across like a lot of their businesses or like internal struggles maybe that they're dealing with?
I love that question. And the first thing that comes to mind is the conversation that's always brought up is the work-life balance for women. That topic is usually, we've read, there's been so many articles since COVID, really, that's like, well, work-life balance is only talked about when it comes to women. It doesn't really necessarily, it's not a conversation amongst men because they don't need that balance. They have their thing. We find that with the females that are coming to our events and our spaces, a big conversation is how are they tackling everything that they're doing? How are they able to play to their ambitions and career growth, but still have to be, that caretaker kind of concept? At our International Women's Day and First Sunday's kickoff at the Ritz last year, our panel conversation was about the second shift. It's like a, you know, a sociological term that's coined to women, where you have your first shift when you go to work, and then your second shift kicks in when you get home, where you have to take care of everything. If you've got children, you got to make sure the kids are all good. If you have to like make meals, you have to do all of that. Women are natural caretakers. So it's really difficult for the women that are coming out that have so many career goals and ambitions to want to be able to do that, but also care for the people around them or for themselves even. Sometimes they are put on the back burner because they're caring for other people. And other times it's, I'm going to focus on what I'm doing, but I'm going to feel so guilty that I'm not helping others around me. So those conversations are very, they're present at all our events because naturally women are carrying that sense of responsibility. And if they fall short because they're pouring into their own cup and trying to play to their ambitions, they feel a sense of guilt. So it's been a very interesting way to kind of, you know, create spaces on our stage, bringing in the right people to speak about, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to just slow down, or it's okay to take care of yourself first. And it's that concept of, you know, being on the airplane, put your own oxygen mask on first, that we're constantly have to remind our, you know, females. But it's difficult because again, there's a bit of guilt. So that's a big topic that comes up. It's very consistent.
That's so interesting, just because I feel like I've had multiple conversations about this recently. I was just having a conversation, I think on Monday, with this woman who's an entrepreneur who's amazing, has built this like amazing business, and we're around the same age. I'm 32, and we were talking, and she was expressing how she's thinking within the year's time, her and her husband are going to start to try build a family and see how that unfolds. And we were talking about, it's really funny because obviously there's conversation of women building something of their own when they're in the mother role, right? But now it's like there's even this part where if you're a very kind of unapologetically ambitious woman or like an overachiever, and that feels really good, that fills you up, that feels very fulfilling, there's almost this like fear of stepping in to that role, because it's just like, I'm a 2 feet in person. So I know when I'm a mom, I'm gonna want to be 2 feet in that. And does that mean like everything that I've ever known for the last decade of my life, does that get put aside, or how does that manage that? And I gotta be a transparent, like, I definitely have that feeling. Like, I do want to have a family in time, but I have definitely been one that has probably delayed that process because I am like very ambitious, and I love, like, I am very filled up. Like, I haven't had that draw, like, oh my gosh, I want to step into motherhood right now. And it's just like a really interesting topic. And I think it requires a lot of communication with you and your partner, if hopefully you're in like a healthy relationship and you have that support system, like a little bit of almost expectation setting to a degree. Like, listen, I have this going on and I want us to be of equal parts, or just whatever feels good to you. It's also totally cool if you want to take a back seat and you want to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom, and like, and you fall in love with that and you're so fulfilled, right? Like, there's not one that's better than the other, but there is this unfortunate side where it's like we have to choose a little bit. And then the expectations of, and then another conversation. This is part two, because I was like, I want to bring up both of these. I was talking to my own business mentor yesterday, and we were diving into kind of what my, like, the main things that come up with my clients. And something that I really want to support them with is like the guilt and shame of everything, like within women, in everything, like, a guilt and shame when you're with your kids, because you're like, oh, I should be doing something for my business. You're in your business, I should be doing this with my kids. It's like, I've done a bit of the self-development work. So I like drink my green juice in the morning and I try to meditate. And then I go out for a glass of wine with my girlfriends, and then I end up having four. And then I'm slightly hungover the next morning. And the guilt that comes with that, like, just like so much guilt and shame is embedded in women still to this day. And it's just like demystifying that and breaking that down and like bringing that conversation, because it's so real. Because I feel like it's something that's so apparent across like everyone that I speak with. What, do you agree or like?
100%. I'm not a mother yet. I aspire to be a mom someday. I love children. I love kids. I'm usually at the kids table if there's like a whole like gathering and there's like, yeah, like at Thanksgivings, you won't find me at the family, like the adult table. I'll be with the kids coloring or something. I love that. And I'm really looking forward to that chapter of my life. And I call it a chapter because I see it around me, and it to be quite frank, it scares me a bit because of the points that you just made too. There is that guilt of like, I want to be 2 feet in. And if I'm not, I'm doing a disservice to myself. And then if I'm not 2 feet in the other way, I'm doing a disservice to my little child or my family or, you know, whoever it is. It's really difficult to navigate that. And I think it starts with forgiving ourselves. It's really trying to just let ourselves know that we're not superhuman. Everything in its moment deserves its own time. And just because we are wanting to do so much here, like wanting to like catapult a business or make it or whatever make it means to somebody, doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice on certain things. I do believe in the energy of being able to do it all, but being able to be present in each item is in each like step is what's difficult because we can never fully lean into something because we're constantly thinking of the other thing. Cause like, if we're doing our event and we're like working, we're like, oh no, oh my God, I need to go home and cook. And then, oh my God, I need to go make sure the kids are okay. I need to do this because it's that it is so difficult. And I think if we're able to forgive ourselves and just be like, right now I am right here. And right now this is what's ahead of me. And I will tackle the rest because it is there, but I will give it the thought space when I'm in that moment kind of thing. I think it's really difficult. I'd love to know what it's going to look like for me someday soon, but it's a scary thing. I won't even lie. Cause you need to have a strong partner. You need to make sure you're aligned. And I've been seeing it unfold around me. It's really interesting to want to do it all and kind of navigate it. It's a journey. So.
And if everyone could just learn the skill of being like super present, like how much that would fix, say, like just being present, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's shitty, great, good, whatever it is, whatever hat you're wearing at that given moment, like if we just were able to be present, but we're living also in such a day and age where everything is so accelerated and rapid and overstimulating and the accessible, like how our parents make jokes about like, oh, I went to school and it took me 5 hours to walk there in snowshoes. Like we are just like, okay, relax. But now it's like with kids, they don't know the patience of like waiting on a phone call or, you know, like for the home phone or
mail too.
Yeah, yeah. Just like nothing. And so everything is so accessible and it's not even to the fault of humans. It's like, that's what we know, like if everything is so convenient in some ways, that's obviously we're very grateful for that living in the Western world and having these resources like there, but there is definitely a downside to that in the long run. Absolutely. So with that being said, obviously this is such a great conversation. What would you say has been like your learnings, your lessons, how you have changed or you've noticed shifts that you've had during this time of stepping into this role, where you are in the room, where you are surrounded by like-minded leaders, because it's so different kind of than the life that you were living previously. So how do you notice over the last 4 years things have shifted in your own life in result of that?
That's a great question. And I was just thinking about like the answer as you're speaking, and I kind of want to give it a bit more thought too. A lot has changed. And I think this stepping into this role and being in this space and being, you know, at certain tables, having certain conversations or, you know, being in certain buildings that I never dreamt I could be in a meeting with kind of thing. I sit there and I'm like, you know what, it doesn't all happen just out of, you know, sheer luck. It's a lot of hard work, but it's also a lot of release. That is actually my word for 2024. Release, whether it's releasing. I like to pick a word for every year.
I like it. Yeah. I like that a lot.
So this year, the word is release. It's releasing expectations. It's releasing things that don't serve me. It's releasing people who don't deserve to be around me because it is a, you know, we have to think about the space. Like, you know, I pour so much into other people, you really need to deserve to be in my space. And I, that goes to other people as well. I really need to deserve to be in their space as well. Being in this role, I realized that not everything is evergreen. Things come and go, and that you just have to be okay with it. Things that you've planned might not end up actually happening. And you would put so much effort and energy and expectations into it, you end up getting really hurt after that. Like whether it was a partnership that you were so excited to have, and then it falls through last minute. Whether it is the people that you thought would be evergreen in your life that were going to be there all the time. Whether in the capacity that they've always been, or you know, just a little less. People are going to leave. People are not going to be able to, you know, go to that next step that you're kind of striding, I guess, like that's that next step that you're taking. They can't follow you with that. And I've had to lose a lot of people along the way because I chose to focus on, you know, really lean into my role, really pour a lot into work. And I struggled growing up with saying no to people. And I still struggle with saying no. I want to be able to help everybody and do everything. And this role is really, and I'm still learning this, learning how to put those boundaries. So it's releasing the things I can't control. It's releasing the thing like, you know, I actually can put this on my plate and I need to let go of the fact that I really want to help. I just need to really accept the fact I can't right now. So this role has taught me a lot from like the business side, of course, and how to grow as like a professional, within whether the PR space or the business development space, but beyond that, it's taught me a lot about myself. It's taught me about the things that pour into my cup and in really focusing my energy there, as opposed to trying to, you know, oh my God, let me go out and just make sure I'm there for your birthday. Let me make sure that I'm there for your like ceremony, your party. I've been a bridesmaid 6 times. I'm literally Katherine Heigl from 27 Dresses. It's because I love everybody and I want to be there and I want to be like at my highest capacity for everyone, but then it burns me out. And especially having done full-time job, worked on a like a side gig and then post doing a post-grad all at the same time, people didn't understand that I was really trying to develop everything I could in the time. And that was my timeline. That was me working at my pace. That was what I selected for myself. They decided like, okay, that's too much. You don't have time for us, whatever. And then I had to let it go. I had to be like, okay, it is what it is. And I just, you know, had to let go of the rope kind of thing because I can't be fighting for too long. And then with even, you know, with the partnerships, like I need to realize, okay, this is not going to work out. It's just maybe not the right fit or maybe not the right time. And it's just accepting and telling myself what the reality is instead of telling myself it's going to be okay. Like these stories, no, just accept things as they are. Like, you know what, that was a shitty circumstance or this was a really great thing. And leaning into the emotions, not everything is going to be like, you know, all hunky dory or whatever people say, but I'm kind of going off, but there's a lot I'm feeling right now with that question, to be honest. So.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And how would you say that your confidence and maybe go hand in hand with like a bit of your self-worth, knowing that those like kind of feed off of each other, has grown through being in this role? Cause now you're saying that you're a part of meetings that you couldn't picture yourself, or you're in buildings that you never envisioned yourself in. And I know that the antidote to fear is like taking action. The way you gain clarity is by taking action. It's all like extremely action oriented. One of the slogan that I put on, I got some merch made for this podcast, and the slogan that I put on the back is ready isn't a feeling, it's a decision. Again, action-based, right? So how have you felt your comfort zone expand and your confidence grow in result of the actionable steps that you've taken while being in this role?
Yeah, that's, I love what, like that sentence is powerful because it is, it's a decision. It's not just, I'm feeling ready. No, you decided to be ready. That's what it is. I love that. No, honestly, like that whole thing's like, you'll know when you're ready. So like, what is that? What is that feeling I'm looking for? You know, like, I don't really get it. I love that. When it comes to expanding the confidence, I think at certain times, like I've already naturally had a lot of confidence, if I'm being completely honest. I'm that girl, despite how, I don't know if anybody's gonna be able to see this, but I don't look it right now, but I'm that girl that walks in with her heels on. And if there's an event, I'm walking in those heels for like 8 hours on end, it'll be 4 inches. And I will refuse to take them off because that's what empowers me. And that's what looks great in the outfit too, right? But I've always had that sense of confidence. So I feel like being in those spaces, I feel like I am where I need to be, kind of thing. So I kind of allow myself to feel that. But at the same time, I've had a lot of moments in this role where my confidence was kind of deflated, where, there's certain, again, those certain things that I was really hoping would happen and they didn't and they fell through. Or maybe my personality came off as too confident, or I'm too, like, I became too intimidating to other people. And that became, somewhere where I had to sit down and be like, but I know that I'm not like trying to intimidate anybody. That's just how I am. Like, so it's, and those comments come from friends and family, to be honest, where it's just like, okay, well, you need to calm down a bit, or you need to just, I'm like, well, I'm on a high right now. And I know I've got like things to do. And so I've felt a lot of great confidence that I've kind of like been able to kind of be true to myself, because I walk in and I'm unapologetically myself, kind of thing. And I'm happy to be that. But at the same time, I've had the other end of it where it's just like, that really did not feel so great, and my shoulders were shrugged, and I'm a little bit harder on myself than I need to be, maybe. But I've felt like I've let myself down a lot of times, where those confidence is actually not at its peak. As you know, I know we're trying to talk about like how, you're feeling so great, you're confident and everything, but the reality is there's going to be a lot of moments where that confidence is not there, and I have felt that a lot. And in this role too, which has allowed me to grow even faster, to be quite honest. And it's allowed me to actually accomplish so much more, because it's like, okay, learning from my mistakes, what can we do better next time? As opposed to like being on a high constantly, because that's not the reality of it.
No, not at all. That's not sustainable to any degree. What is there anything you do when you feel like super nervous about anything? Like if you're going to talk on stage, I don't know if that's something that you do. Like maybe you guys do intros or something like that. Like, or you're in a meeting with a particular potential partner, you're giving a pitch. Like if you're feeling like hella nervous, is there anything like you specifically do?
That's so great. Actually, you know what? It's very rare that I feel nervous, to be quite honest. Like, if I'm being completely honest, like I'll get it. But the thing is that I remind myself, if I am in that moment where I like the nerves are there, there's two things I do. One, the nerves are there because you really want it. You want to be present, because like those nerves are good things. It's because you care. That's what that is. And then the second part is, what's the worst that can happen? For me, it's like, okay, you get up on stage or you're nervous, you want to say anything. It's you just own it. Like, maybe you slip up, but you'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I just did that. And it is what it is. It's just going up and just being your true self. And that's something I'm very proud of, being able to carry from once, no matter what space I'm in. I carry my authentic self in every single situation. There's not a time where you're gonna see me like be inconsistent in what it's like, okay, Mandy, like she was gonna, yeah, obviously she's gonna do something like that. Like, I think people can just tell now, even though I can be a bit of a wild card. Like, you tell me, like, well, what would you do in this situation? I'm like, actually, no. But then I'll do what I need to do. And I'm like, oh, that's very like on par with your personality. But I just get on there, and just like, as long as you're truly like being your true self on in whatever the space is, it's those nerves are just emotions of being, you want to be there. You care about this. And if you're nervous about screwing things up, own it. And then just move on to the next good thing, because it's not that big a deal at the end of it.
That's so good. I actually was quite nervous for something a few weeks ago. And I, again, also don't feel I'm pretty good. My comfort zone is pretty expanded, like I push limits quite often. And I was just feeling particularly nervous the night before. And I sat down with my partner, and he actually had some really good insight. Shout out to him. He said, he's like, it is a privilege to feel nervous, Brie. I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah, this is like a mic drop. You're right. It is privilege to feel nervous because it was something that I wanted to do, that I'm putting myself out there, was to better myself. Like in that circumstance, it very much was a privilege to feel nervous. And I thought that really resonated for any of you if you want to take that on. So I have kind of like a final question for you. When you are going through all these changes, and I know you're talking about your kind of relationships with people and understanding probably boundaries. You didn't use the word boundaries, but assuming you were alluding to that in regards to having your time and giving your time and your energy and all those things. How have you found your support system kind of back you as you step into this role, as you become like more front facing, as this company that you're a part of that's extremely empowering and progressive, how do you find your people responding to that?
Brilliant question.
Like, have you felt, you know what it is? Because when I initially started to do my own thing, if this helps at all, but when I started to do my own thing, there were definitely parts at the beginning where I felt a little bit of vulnerability hangover if I put myself up there. Like when I started my podcast and then I have like my closest girlfriends who are like my ride or die since childhood, and they listen to an episode and they're like, Brie, I didn't know that about you. I'm like, oh my God. But like, I don't have that feeling now, but like I have in the past. So I always just like to ask people like, how have you been feeling with your dynamics of your relationships and your support system? Are they on board? Are they encouraging? Do you share everything? Or are you just like in your own lane?
You know, as I'm like thinking, it comes in waves. Sometimes it's like a wave of like so much support. And then it's like a steady, like, what are you doing? Like, it's just like, what are you doing? I'm that friend, like, you know, in like Friends with Chandler, like nobody knew what he did. Like, they don't know what they did. My one of my really, really good friends, since I one of my best friends, like I was like a child, she sent a video like maybe last week saying, let's do a PowerPoint night where we just tell each other about our jobs so we know what we all do. And then like, I know one is in like, she's working at a not-for-profit in terms of a lot of things going on. The other one's a midwife, and the other one, and I'm just, yeah, I do like this and I do this. And it's like, and they're just like, you just do a lot. Like, can we just get a one word? And I'm like, yeah, public relations. And they're like, okay, but what is that? And I'm like, okay, great. So the support, when it comes down to it, I've had a really strong support system that's at the core of a lot of the things that they do or they say is them looking out for me. Cause I can be very much on the go, like extremely on the go, like where I'm got one thing to the next. And then I can have one full day of events where my brain is on 110%. And then my best friend's dinner, and I'm like, I want to go make that so I don't let her down or something. Like, I'm trying to do too much. So my support system's always like watching out for me in a sense, like maybe slow down, or maybe, you know, what you're doing is great, but what's the next step kind of thing? Cause like, you're going at 100, don't you want to unlock the next step of your life? Like, you know, the next chapter kind of thing. I think they are always watching out for me because I am a 2 foot kind of like 2 feet in kind of person, and I'm all in. And for them, it's just like, time is ticking and time can be fleeting. So if there's a lot of things that you want to accomplish, maybe slow down so you can see what pace you're going at. So that's the biggest thing that I get actually from my circle. It's you're doing a lot of great things, but also slow down so you can see like what's going on, and you know, stop and smell the roses kind of thing, because I am very much on the go. So I appreciate those comments sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, damn, like I wish you could just see that I'm actually happy this way, you know, like this is how I am. I've come to terms with, I don't like to twiddle my thumbs. I need to be on the go. So my circle is supportive. And when things happen, and there's a lot of things I don't say to one of the points that you made, there's a lot of things I share after the fact. A lot of things I get excited to share in the moment. I don't post a lot on social, on my personal. I've done so many incredible things, like on a personal note, like travel. I love traveling. I've gone to so many great places. I don't post them. And that's even with like the accomplishments on the work side, I don't post them. It's if we're out for dinner and I kind of bring it up, I'll bring it up. And I don't know why I do that, to be honest. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I'm scared my support system is going to sit there and be like, oh, you're really doing too much. But I share in passing sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can reflect and mirror like a lot of what you're sharing. I'm also very fortunate to have a very good support system. Like, I'm very lucky and grateful because I know a lot of people don't have that. And the intention is always good. Sometimes the comments hit a little bit differently, and that's really usually based on where I'm at that given moment. If I'm feeling a little bit low or a little bit defensive, it's like, oh, you just don't see my vision. You don't see my dream. But it's like, and they're just like, why can't you just chill out and hang out and watch TV on a Saturday? I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So I can completely reflect that. This has been Such a good conversation. I knew we were going to hit it off right away. It's funny. I all like when jumping on to record and interview people, like I can always tell when I'm like, okay, we're going to jam like really easily. So it's been so good. Thank you so much. Where can people like get into your world, run the World Summit? Like, what's the next upcoming thing? I'll be sure to link everything in the show notes, but please share.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's been a pleasure. Your questions, I was actually speaking at an event this past October and I came up with a sentence and it was the answers you get are only as good as the questions you ask. And like kudos to you, you ask like really great questions where I'm like, I'm gonna be off this and I'm gonna be like sit there. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I said that. Oh my God, that would have been really great. I know that that's what's gonna happen because those questions are really like, I need to go reflect and I'm so glad that I need to like have some time now to figure that out. So thank you for that. In terms of Run the World, we are constantly in the event space. So we have a lot of pop-ups this year. We are not only at Square One Shopping Center in Mississauga, which is our home base, we are expanding to Upper Canada Mall and Scarborough Town Center. There are going to be various pop-ups to support female-owned businesses. There's photo op opportunities as well in various partners that we work with. And then our pillar conferences, which we're so excited for. Next week, actually, we have our International Women's Day event at the Ritz-Carlton. It kicks off our so every first Sunday of the month we have a networking series with the in partnership with the Ritz-Carlton. Every first Sunday of the month, you can find 30 individuals in a room with a fire and a fireside chat with a female entrepreneur in the in basically the GTA space. We enjoy high tea, we network, we get a little goodie bag after that. That's every first Sunday of the month at the Ritz-Carlton. We have a huge Health is Wealth event at the end of April, and our huge, like this is the biggest one. It's our pillar conference of the year in October. And you can get all those details at Run the World Summit, the Instagram account there, and on our website.
Thank you so much. This conversation has been so good for everyone listening. I love you. And until next week. Thanks for tuning in to the Gold Digger Guide podcast. If you're looking to find more ways on how to uplevel your life, you can find me on Instagram at Breanne Burke, where I share all my tips and tricks on everything mindset and productivity. I am here to serve you, so please share a review, let me know what you want to hear, and let's grow together.